morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another day we get to praise God for something. Hi, I'm Brock, and I have been saved not because of myself. Well, duh, Pastor, right? What's that big thing behind you mean? Right? Well, that's something yet that we can forget, that we are saved by God's grace. So today we are going to remind ourselves big time of God's grace and what that has done for us and what that means for us in our lives. Today we're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, so we ask that you prepare your minds and your hearts to receive the body and blood of Jesus. This is also an expression of the unity of our faith, so if you are not one with us in faith, we ask that you refrain from partaking with us, and if you have any questions about how you might partake with us in the future, we'd love to talk to you about that, so speak to one of us pastors after the service. Today we have the privilege and the honor of being blessed in our worship by Stephen Bautista and his family. Stephen here is going to lead us through some songs. Please note that just because in some of the songs there's bold type doesn't mean that we're to join in. We will be joining in on Amazing Grace in Christ Alone, and then Jesus Loves Me at the end, and Stephen will give you more instructions there at the end. May God bless your worship this morning. We open with Joy in the Journey.
He said, lay down your nets and come follow me without regard for what lies ahead.
Trust and believe that He'll lead us to the promised land.
And as we take His hand and go on the path to heaven's home, we may venture out into the unknown. But there is joy in the journey, an amazing life to live, when we're called by the Savior to come and follow Him. Though we hope for the future and the glory that awaits, let us live in this moment and embrace each step we take. When we follow in His footsteps, there is joy in the journey. And there'll be days when we find that we're too tired and worn to carry on and take one more step. But our strength is in Christ, and we cling to the hope that soon we will be at heaven's gate. And what a glorious day when we'll be at our journey's end, and our own eyes will finally see heaven. But there is joy in the journey, an amazing life to live, when we're called by the Savior to come and follow Him. Though we hope for the future and the glory that awaits, let us live in this moment and embrace each step we take. We follow in His footsteps. There is joy in the journey. For the new life that He gave, when we fill our voice with thankfulness for the price He had to pay, when we join our hearts to worship Him and praise the Holy One, when we lift Him up to all the world and tell what He has done. There is joy in the journey, an amazing life to live, when we're called by the Savior to come and follow Him. Though we hope for the future and the glory that awaits, let us live in this moment and embrace each step we take. When we follow in His footsteps, there is joy in the journey. Yeah, joy in the journey. There is joy. Journey, joy.
There's joy in the journey.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join together in Amazing Grace, hymn 379. Please stand. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done, and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ,
for patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
You may be seated.
There's a sound rising up through the air, drowning out the bitter cry of despair, bellowing over the voice of fear. It's the sound of hope, resonating out where the hurting are. It echoes through the walls of a broken heart, penetrating down through the deepest scar. It's the sound of hope. It's the sweet, sweet sound of a sinner's praise when their wayward soul is found, as they sing a song of amazing grace. All their voices arise in a sweet, sweet sound. Wells up to the tops of cathedral halls, reverberating out through the chapel walls, ringing in the streets like a distant call. It's the sound of hope. It beckons to the hearts of a world in need, it's telling them the story of the redeemed, proclaiming that Jesus has set them free. It's the sound of hope. It's the sweet, sweet sound of a sinner's praise when their wayward soul is found, as they sing a song of amazing grace. All their voices arise in a sweet, sweet sound. A sweet, sweet sound. It's a sweet, sweet sound when we sing our praises in the name of Jesus, and our hallelujahs ring in a sweet, sweet sound.
Sweet, sweet,
a sweet, sweet sound.
Sweet, sweet,
a sweet, sweet sound. It's the sweet, sweet sound of a sinner's praise when their wayward soul is found, as they sing a song of amazing grace. All their voices arise in the sweet, sweet sound of a sinner's praise when their wayward soul is found, as they sing a song of amazing grace. All their voices arise in a sweet, sweet sound.
Sweet, sweet,
a sweet, sweet sound.
Sweet, sweet,
a sweet, sweet sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray to our gracious God. Eternal God and Father, help us to remember Jesus, who obeyed your will and bore the cross for our salvation, that through his anguish, pain, and death we may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson this morning, as we continue to remember God's grace, comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 24. Here, this was before the Israelites went into Babylon, but God already warned them that they are going to go there. But he also tells them of a deliverance that is to come, and also gives them good reason why they need to remember it. From Isaiah chapter 43. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins, and wearied me with your offenses. The word of the Lord. Second lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 11, where Paul reminds us Gentiles, us non-Jews, that the Jews forgot God's grace, but that we shouldn't think of ourselves any higher. We also should remember God's grace. From Romans 11. Again I ask, did they, the Jews, stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? I am talking to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. The word of the Lord. We speak responsively the verse of the day. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
By his wounds we are healed.
Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from Luke chapter 20, where we see that Jesus warns the Israelites that they have forgotten God's grace to the point where they are going to kill God's own son. God be praised for his grace in sending his son anyway. From Luke chapter 20. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and said, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated for our next hymn, hymn 752 in the Blue Songbooks, "In Christ Alone." God's grace and peace are yours, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks to Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this morning comes from the first lesson, Isaiah chapter 43. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your grace. Amen. Husbands and wives, raise your hand if your spouse has a selective memory. Careful. Parents with your kids? Or should I say kids with your parents? Yeah. You know what I mean by selective memory? It means that they do remember, but they only remember some. Or some of what happened. They only remember what they want to remember. Honey, I told you to buy at the store milk, eggs, chips, veggies, and a dessert. And what'd you buy? Chips and a dessert. Maybe that's my selective memory. Do you know that spiritually we can have a selective memory too? Some ways that's good. Some ways, not so good. So God this morning is going to help us have a good selective memory. He's going to remind us that we are formed to praise him for his grace. So let's start by listing off a bunch of things about his grace that we know that happened in the past. So for us as Christians in general, in the past, what has God done out of his grace? Go ahead, shout it out. What has God done for us as Christians in the past out of his grace?
Redeemed us.
How? Sacrifice of his own son on the cross. He sent his own son, Jesus, to pay for our sins. Now that is grace. What else has he done for us in the past? Took care of us. He helps guide us, to protect us, care for us. Good. What else?
Always provides for us.
What's that?
Always provides for us.
All the way in the past has always continued to do that for his whole church in general, for each of us individually. What else? Gives us his word. Yeah, think about that. We have this huge Bible. It's called God's Word. He tells us exactly what happened, what Jesus did, and what it means for us. That's gracious. What else?
Gave us faith, didn't he?
Yeah, that receives that grace. He gave us faith. Maybe he connected that word to water and actually touched our skin with that word. Created that faith, that conversion that we have. So many things that he's done for us in the past. Wow. And did we deserve any of it? Not a single thing. It's all because of his grace. Now what I want you to do is, I want you to forget it all. Completely forget it. Don't dwell on it. Do you ever think you'd hear a pastor tell you, forget about what Jesus did? But I want you to do that. I want you to forget it all. Because if you think what God did for us in the past is great, just you wait. Something greater is yet to come, isn't there? What's God going to do for us in the future? Let's list those things off too. In the future, for us as Christians, what's God going to do? Home to live with him in heaven. Yeah, so this isn't our home. We're going to go to our real home, right? Live with him too, our holy and almighty gracious God. What else? No pain, no suffering. Not going to need any of that. Not going to have any of that. We're not going to need any sort of cures because the resurrection too. We're going to have new glorious bodies. That also means no death. Good, what else? What's the cause of all that? Sin. No more sin. No more sin at all. That means no more sadness, no more devil, no more anything. All defeated. No more loneliness, no more fear, no more doubt. What God is going to do for us on that last day and beyond. Whew. Nothing compares to that. The greatest is yet to come, brothers and sisters. And that's all because of God's grace. Because of the hope that he secured for us in the past and promises to us in the future, now here in the present, you and I are tailor-made. We are formed to praise him for that grace. We get to do that here in worship in this building and our worship outside of this building in our lives. We come here and we sing it, we confess it, we pray it, we read it and listen to it, We partake of it. We remember it with each other. We encourage each other with it. We remind ourselves often of it. We get to go outside these walls and do the same thing. We get to reflect that grace to others. Same way that God has helped us, we get to help others freely. Not just our enemies, everyone. Not just our friends, everyone. Not just those who have the same opinion of us, but even those who different opinion, different experiences. Not just fellow Christians, but especially those who aren't, because they might need a little grace of God in their lives, and especially in their hearts. All because of God's grace, we get to do this. We are formed, engineered for it. But sadly, that sinful self within us makes us forget that grace. The Israelites were no different. Think of the list that you could put for the Israelites in the past. You just scan through the Old Testament. Look at how many things that God had done for them out of his grace. God here in Isaiah 43 reminds them of one big one in particular. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. What's he reminding them of? When he parted the Red Sea after the Exodus. Think about that. 400 years they were in slavery. 10 powerful plagues. God brings them out, leads them to the sea. Pharaoh's army bearing down on them. And he parts the waters. They walk through on dry ground. And he washes away Pharaoh's army like that, never to rise again. It was the single greatest deliverance in Israel's history. There was nothing that compared to it, supposedly. It was a huge evidence of God's care and his grace and that he is mighty to save. Remember that, Israel? God says. Yeah, well, forget it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, God says. What? He just reminded them of it. And he says, forget it. Why? He wasn't telling them to forget it to forget it. He was showing them that you kind of have a selective memory. You remember those great things, and you remember some wrong things about it and why I did it, the purpose of it. He was telling them to forget it because he was emphasizing there's something greater yet to come. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. God was telling them that there's a deliverance coming, and it's even greater. The deliverance from Babylon. You're going to go there, but I'm going to deliver you from those Babylonians. I'm going to take you through those desert areas like I did with the Exodus. I'm going to provide water for you just like I did for them. But what would make this deliverance even greater is because it would usher in the Messiah. That's what this is all a picture of. They would resettle the towns that the very Christ would visit, perform miracles in, teach in. He would provide living water and spiritual streams in the spiritual desert. Like never before, Israel as a nation would be formed to proclaim his praise and his grace. All the nations would look to Israel and just be amazed at God's grace. But they forgot that grace. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me. Fragrant calamus was used in the holy anointing oil. Or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. That sounds funny to us, but the fat of the sacrifices was the choice part of the sacrifice that was dedicated to the Lord alone. God was telling them here one of two things. Either he was telling them, yeah, all right, you do all these sacrifices, but not really. Your hearts aren't in it. You're not actually doing it for me. You've burdened yourselves with it. You think that it's something that you do to earn my favor. We see evidence of that in Jesus' day with the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the chief priests. That's why he tells them that parable in the gospel lesson. Or he's telling them that deliverance in Egypt and that deliverance to come from Babylon had nothing to do with you. Before Egypt, you didn't even have my law and my sacrifices. That came at Mount Sinai afterward. In Babylon, you're not even going to have a temple to perform these. You think you're earning this deliverance? No, it's completely from my grace, but you're forgetting that. So either way, he's making the same point. You're forgetting my grace. You're burdening yourselves and thinking that it has something to do with you that I give you my grace. That's not true. Israel was forgetting. In fact, they weren't burdening themselves. It was the other way around. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. If there's anyone who was being burdened, it was God. When we forget the grace of Christ, that's a sin. When you and I try to worship him apart from that, that's a sin. We burden God with that. We put that on his shoulders. Israelites were doing the same thing. You and I know that we can't sit back and self-righteously say, oh, Israel, how could you? Because we do the same thing. We forget God's grace. In our worship here in this building, in our worship outside of this building, we make worship of God into some sort of burden. Like we weary ourselves of it. Is it really so hard to get up on a Sunday morning and come to worship God for 1 hour? Is it really so hard to stay an extra hour to study God's Word? Is it really so hard to wake the kids up on a Sunday morning and connect them with God's grace to help secure their eternal future just a little bit more? Some days harder than others, sure, but really in general, is it that hard? Any harder than bringing them to school, waking them up for that during the week? Is it really that hard if you're the ones who come here every single week? Is it really that hard to get over your arrogance? Is it really that hard to, oh, good job, Brock. You did what God wants you to do anyway. It's like we turn our worship into a burden or something that we do to appease or curry the favor of our God or the praise of others. But it's not just in this building. It's also outside of this building. Is it really that hard to go through a little bit of discomfort for myself so that I can help ease somebody else's burden? Is it really that hard to lift a little finger to help someone else? Is it really so hard to forgive our enemies? Or anyone, really? Imagine how hard it must have been for Jesus to bear that burden. And he did. He bore that burden for me. So is it really that hard for me to forgive someone who sins against me? We act like all of this worship is a burden, and it wearies us somehow. We too fall for the same thing the Israelites did. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. For God, it's like pulling teeth. All he wants is for us to just feel like we get to worship him, not we have to. All he does is want our changed hearts to love him for his grace. Instead, we burden him with our sins. So how does he respond? He bears that burden freely. He allows himself to be wearied by our sins. See, God has a selective memory, a really good one for our sake. God's selective memory remembers his grace for us and forgets something else. That's what he says in the verse after our sermon text. The very next verse, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God's selective memory remembers his grace and forgets all of our sins. Blots them out, all of our transgressions, even the ones when we forget his grace. They're blotted out, they're gone. Remembers them no more. Why? Not on account of us, but on account of him, for his own sake, who he is. Thanks be to God, he bases it on that. Not on who we are or what we've done, but on what he is. He is gracious. He is the one who sent his son. He is the one who gives us all of those promises and his word. All he is gracious. To worship him for anything else would be empty worship. Who else gets to praise a God for grace? Who else gets to praise and worship their God not to earn anything, but simply because they get to? No other God does that, only ours. And we get to. We get to come here on a Sunday morning, praise him together. How do we do that? Well, we can use some time-honored ways, or not. We're not going to burden ourselves by any traditions. We're not going to say it has to be done this way or it isn't God-pleasing, and we're not going to say it has to be done this way or it isn't enjoyable. That would be burdening ourselves and those around us. No, we're not going to do that. We're here to praise God for his grace. And when we leave this building, oh, did you need help? Here, let me lift a finger for you. Need 10? I got 10. I got 10 toes, too. You need those? What's that? You wronged me? You sinned against me? Good! Well, I have been engineered. I have been formed for this very moment. I can forgive you as God has forgiven me. Let me help you with your burden as God helped me with my massive one. We are formed, engineered to praise God for this grace. And is it really so hard? No, it isn't, thanks to Christ. So it's good to have a selective memory, as you can see. We want to forget our past sins. We want to forget our past sinful ways. We want to forget that law of motivation. And we want to select God's grace, what he's done for us in the past, what he promises in the future. When we do that, we remember that we are formed to praise God for his grace. Amen. Please stand. May the grace of God guard your hearts and your minds in his grace. Amen. We now confess our faith in that grace according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for your offerings of thanks.
place dark and cold, to fulfill the promise made long ago. And we sing hallelujah to the newborn King, the bright star of heaven, the hope of the redeemed. Lift up your voice and let it ring, singing hallelujah to the newborn King. Bright star shone in the air. Wise men bearing gifts stood in awe and wonder, gazing at him. They saw the tiny hands that one day would be pierced for the sins of man. They looked at little feet that someday he'd stand on a sweet victory. And we sing hallelujah to the newborn King, the bright star of heaven, the hope of the redeemed. Lift up your voice and let it ring, singing hallelujah to the newborn King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now we're safe and secure, spared from the harsh fate we all deserve. Because God surely came on a cold starry night as a tiny babe. And we sing hallelujah to the newborn King, the bright star of heaven, the hope of the redeemed. Lift up your voice and let it ring, singing hallelujah to the newborn King. Hallelujah to the newborn King, bright star of heaven, the hope of the redeemed. Lift up your voice and let it ring, singing hallelujah to the newborn King. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
We pray the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray. Almighty God, we praise you for blessing those celebrating birthdays. Give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit so they can continue to glorify you in this life in word and deed. We ask that you also continue to be with everyone celebrating a wedding anniversary. Point them always to Christ, who is the perfect example of forgiveness and selfless love. Lord of body and life, please show the power of your mighty hand and the comfort of your grace to those recovering and to those still suffering from illness, injury, or surgery. We think especially of David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, David Scaltetti, Martha Schmidt, and Pam Drennan. Give them and their families the reminder of your grace through Christ, and remind them of the unequaled joys that await us in heaven. Lord, in everything, strengthen us to serve and worship you in the freedom and love won by Christ. Guide us to reflect that same gracious love to those around us. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now please stand in honor of God's grace in the sacrament. The The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He made his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Lost and afraid, laden with doubt, on the wrong path with no clear way out, stranded within a valley of dry bones, withered and parched, yearning for rain, longing to quench the deep thirst that came from the fierce fire raging in my soul. Then came relief in the shadow of the cross, where I could drink from the hands with nail-shaped scars. Healed by his wounds, restored by his stripes, he
Restored by his stripes, here I will rest in Christ. Here I will rest in Christ. Subtle hues of a delicate bloom and a songbird that greets the new morning. A cascading stream flowing through fields of green and the mountains that rise up before them. And oh, so many ways the beauty of life has shined on surpasses by far the beauty I've seen. The most beautiful thing I know is the cross with the Savior who died for us all, and the blood that flowed from his hands and feet and the wounds he bore so that we
most beautiful thing.
Please stand. Now hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn.
All right, and I'm going to give a little explanation of how this is going to work here. We're all going to sing this together. We sing Jesus Loves Me pretty much everywhere we go throughout the country because it gives me an opportunity to include a few more of my children in the mix. And if you didn't know, we have 9 children, and so there's a lot to try and include. And the way this is going to work is this is Eliana and Judah. Eliana's 7, Judah is 3. They're going to start us off and sing the first verse and the chorus by themselves. And then we're going to start over again from the beginning, and then we'll sing it together as a congregation from there. And I invite everyone to sing along throughout the whole thing. And I know this is a children's song, but it is a very beloved children's song that we all grew up with, and we're all children of God, so we can all join in and sing. And while we're singing it, Elijah, my 13-year-old son, and Rebecca, my 10-year-old daughter, they're going to be doing the sign language throughout the song. So keep an eye on them. One really cool thing about them signing together is that Elijah is right-handed. Rebecca is left-handed, so you're going to see signing in stereo. And one other note, after the third verse, there is an original part that I wrote. It's in bold there, but you don't have to try and sing that. But everything else sings the same way you should all know and love. So let's all join together and sing and celebrate the love of Jesus through this beautiful song, Jesus Loves Me. All right, Ellie and Judah, take it away.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, good job. All right, join us now.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Loves me, died. Heaven's gate to open wide. He has washed away my sin, and let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
tells me of his grace and of sins erased, and how he restored my soul, how he calls me his own. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Join us now. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me. Someday his face I will see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
One more time.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you so much. Pastor said I could have this opportunity just to say a few words and introduce ourselves. My name is Stephen Batista. Singing with me was my 20-year-old daughter, Marissa. And for those of you who don't know who we are, this is our first time officially as our music ministry officially to St. Mark's. We've actually attended here a few times in the past. My mother and brothers live right down the road. So when we come to visit, we've come to church here. We are Wells members. We are members of Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've been members out there for about, 19 years or so. But we don't get out there much anymore. About 7 years ago, when the economy crashed in Las Vegas, my real estate appraisal business crashed with it. So I loaded up my wife and our children in our big white van, and we hooked up our big white travel trailer behind it, got rid of our house, and we pretty much have been traveling the country full-time, sharing our music ministry with congregations, Wells and ELS congregations all throughout the country. We've been doing it for 7 years now. We've visited all of the lower 48 states and have visited hundreds upon hundreds of Wells and ELS congregations throughout the country and shared our music ministry with literally thousands upon thousands of people. And we're very blessed to be able to do this, to travel around the country as a family and to share the message of Christ through our music ministry. We have a very simple mission statement that guides what we do as we travel around the country to keep us focused on what we're doing. And that mission statement is very simply to use my original Christ-centered music that I write and the gifts that God has given me and my family to enlighten the lost and encourage the found. And I hope that we've done that to some degree today. You found the music to be encouraging and uplifting and maybe even enlightening. And if you'd like to help support our music ministry, I want to tell you a couple ways you can do that. We are kind of like PBS. We're a listener-supported station. We don't ever require fees or honorariums from congregations. We don't want money to be a reason why a congregation says no. They may say no for other reasons, but we don't want money to be one of those reasons. And so we take that whole issue off the table. As a former church treasurer, I know how stretched to the limit church budgets can be. So we decided rather than require fees and honorariums from congregations, we would come free of charge, but rely on God's people to help support our music ministry if they so choose to do that. So if you would like to help support us, there's a couple ways you can do that. Number one, you can take home some of our music. I have produced 4 CDs in Nashville, Tennessee, very high quality CDs that contain my original music, and the Christmas CD that we have out contains some traditional stuff as well, traditional songs. That features my daughter, Marissa, by the way. And all of the CDs are $10 each. All the proceeds go to help support our music ministry. And just to say, something about the music that's on there. I know in our circles, contemporary Christian music is oftentimes kind of looked upon with suspicion because, some of it is very, shallow, and you don't really know who it's talking about, and doesn't really say much. You know, it's very me-centric. Hopefully you've gotten the sense that my music is not like that. I've had a pretty good Wells upbringing. So I infused Christ as the center of my music as much as I possibly can. So hopefully our music can be some good, solid Christian music that you can listen to on your day-to-day walk with Christ. And the CD table's back there in the by the coffee maker, so just go back there and check it out. And we'd love to have you take home some of our music. We can take all forms of payment, so check it out as you go back there. Another way you can help support our music ministry is in the form of a free will offering. There's a table just as you, or a basket as you go out of the sanctuary. No obligation, but if you were moved to do that, we thank you in advance of that support. That's really the main way we're able to continue on and continue to share the message of Christ through our music ministry. So thank you in advance for that support. And lastly, you may notice there's a picture of a lion back there by our table. Marissa, my daughter who sings with me, she is very gifted artist, and she does commissioned portraits for people. If anybody might be interested in having a portrait done of a family member or a pet or a lion, if you have a pet lion, then talk to Marissa. That's the way she's trying to make a living in this life. I don't pay her, so she needs to make a living somehow. So anyway, talk to her if you might be interested in that. And with that, once again, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. It's great to finally be able to share our music ministry with you here at St. Mark's. And with that, Lord bless your Sunday. Thank you.
Huge, huge thank you for helping us praise our God, Stephen. Thank you so much for that. As he mentioned, free will offering basket in the back is along with CDs. And by the way, we are the St. Mark's Lions, so the Lions thing makes perfect sense. Visitors, any visitors among us, welcome. And if you have any questions, let us know. Please check out the Welcome Center on your way out. There's also a gift there for you, if you'd like. Please stick around for a Sunday school and Bible study. We have two new studies starting today. We have the glory of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection here in the sanctuary. We also have the book of Joshua. We'll start out in the chapel with that one. Big thank you yesterday to all of our mighty warriors that helped pound the pavement and get the message out about Easter and what we teach here about Christ. We have a lot of things coming ahead that we want to invite people to, so it was a really great opportunity. We planted a number of gospel seeds yesterday. Today, one of those things that we were getting the word out about was our Jesus Cares ministry. That's our special needs ministry. Forgive me if I haven't explained this well enough in the past, but our special needs ministry, it's going to be basically a 20-minute worship that we're going to provide for kids with special needs or people of all ages with special needs. And then there's going to be some time for fellowship and refreshments afterwards. It's going to be a max of an hour, and we're going to do it on the first Sunday of each month at 2 p.m. If you're able to help out, great. If not, continue to pray for it or get the word out about it, and that starts today at 2 p.m. Our Lenten services also continue this week, Wednesday. It didn't say it on the calendar. It does now, but it didn't say it before. There will indeed be a supper this Wednesday, so make sure to come for that, 5:30 and then 7 o'clock. Get to connect to God's grace again. We've got Holy Week coming up, so it's a great lead into that. And a good lead into that also for the teens is we have a teen lock-in. So any of you teens who are interested in that, we have that this Friday. It's going to start, I think, 8 p.m.-ish, 7, 8 p.m. We're going to go into the morning, and we're going to help out in the campus cleanup day, which is the next day. Sign up for that in the back, too, please. That one's open to everybody. But the teen lock-in this Friday, that also goes. We're also extending the invitation to those confirmands who are being... Am I supposed to stop talking? To those confirmands who are about to be confirmed. So also extending that is kind of ushering you into the teen group. So teen lock-in this Friday. Campus cleanup, as I mentioned, this Saturday at 9 a.m. Also, get the word out, too, about the egg hunt. We have an Easter egg hunt, our third annual Easter egg hunt. It's on Facebook. We've only been pumping it for about a week and a half, and we already have over 200 people interested or confirmed coming. So God is going to bless it. So if you wanted to help us out, great. Help us out with donations, or if you wanted to come and help us out and volunteer, that'd be great. There's going to be a lot of people on campus, God willing, that we can connect with and share a little bit of God's grace here and there with, too. For the other announcements, you can find those in the weekly news. May God bless your day. Please stick around to greet one another.